Money Show with Bruce Whitfield. Live, online, smartphones, DSTV, and 92.7 and 106 FM.
You don't say you need to be hyper-vigilant to realize that your favorite radio station today had very few women on air, certainly the regular lineup. Members of the women on our team withdrew their labor. They said, you know what, we need to draw attention to the fact that we have got one of the highest rates of femicide in the world, and we need to show South Africa what the world would sound like without women. And so we have missed our women colleagues on air today, and it really draws attention very neatly to the issue of femicide, which has been protested extensively this week. It's forced the president to go directly to crowds outside Parliament in Cape Town to speak to them. It forced the president to make, through no fault of his own, a bungled public address to South Africa last night, in which he appealed to people to behave like human beings, and again, it goes big. It's bigger than appeals. I mean, it is the rule of law. It is fixing the economy. It is a deeply complex and multifaceted issue. But we can't fix all of the problems, and we're certainly not going to fix them by tomorrow. But what we can do is alleviate some of the hardship. And one of the people who stood up this week to do precisely that was Marnus Broertrek. He is the chief executive of SME.Africa. I just saw a tweet from you this week, Marnus, and I thought it's well worth talking about launching 30 jobs in 30 days. Just tell me how this has an impact.
Hey, Bruce, nice chatting to you. Yeah, I think we're reading all these tweets and we're seeing all these open letters, and I think that it's very valid. But I think we want to take action, and I think we want to inspire other business leaders to also take action. So we've decided as a company, we sat down and we said that we want to start that action, and we want to embark on this campaign to create 30 jobs within the next 30 days. And we definitely don't think it's going to solve the problems of South Africa, but we do think that it can make a small difference. And I think a lot of small differences can make a big impact.
So describe to me what you were doing, Marlis, because I think people need a little bit of inspiration in order to say, hold on a second, I can't hire one person every day of the month, but perhaps I could hire one, perhaps I could hire two, perhaps I could give somebody a break or whatever the case might be. How are you executing on your contribution?
Yeah, so I'm heading up a company called SME.Africa, and we're a community of small business owners. And we realize that many of these small businesses, they need extra capacity within their businesses, but they're not always hiring. So we want to embark on this campaign to make it a little bit easier for them. So we're going to work with small businesses over the next month to make it a little bit easier for them to get employees in and interns in. So we're basically going to create the platform where we're going to get unemployed youth in, and we want to connect them with business owners. And we're very positive and confident that we can do 30 of them in the next 30 days.
Okay, and this is using networks, available networks, people that you know who need help, but might not want to go through the rigmarole of hiring or whatever the case might be, and may need some assistance on this particular path.
Yeah, for sure. I think it was inspired by ourselves. We needed a designer a while ago, and we just put it out on Twitter and said we're looking for a young designer. And we got over 100 CVs in, but what was fascinating is it was graduates who were sitting at home, and they were incredibly talented. And they came at a good price, and we could give them a great opportunity. But I also know that there are many small businesses out there looking for such talent, and we believe we can create that link. And we just want to show if we can create 30 jobs in 30 days through our platform, what is government or other corporates really, what can they do with their bigger platforms?
The stories you hear of young people, of people with huge potential who would have gone off to higher education with stars in their eyes and the belief that if they worked hard, if they did well, that they would be rewarded ultimately with a job. And they get into the jobs market and they get disheartened quite quickly, perhaps. And after a year or two, maybe three of trying to get a job in a market where employment prospects are shrinking, it's a very dispiriting place to be. And to be able to give a young person like that a leg up, an opportunity to prove themselves, is possibly the greatest gift anybody in South Africa can give.
Yeah, 100%. I think there's such a big disconnect between business and students. So we've finished matric and we think we're going to go and study, and then we're going to get a job, and we take all the funds that we've got and that our parents got, and we put it into that, and we're very disappointed thereafter. And I think that needs to change, and it would be great if we can create that.
Maurice, wish you luck with it. Thank you. Proving a point. The chief executive of SME.Africa, Maurice Buretrek, this evening, looking to create 30 jobs in 30 days. It's a small thing, relatively speaking. It's a drop in the ocean of need. But it's Maurice and a network of people saying, let's get together and let's solve a problem. Can you? Could you? Are you motivated by it? Hopefully you are. Yvonne Wakefield is doing something too. She is the founder of Caveat Legal. And you're not going to fix abuse. You're not going to fix the rape culture that exists in South Africa, Yvonne. You're not going to fix femicide. But what you can do is empower women to make informed decisions about the situation that they're in. Tell me what you're doing, Yvonne.
Yes, exactly, Bruce. We've set up the Warrior Project, which is an online service that's free to the public that provides information and resources to victims of domestic violence and gender-based violence. What we've realized is that each person in a situation facing gender-based violence needs to make decisions that are right for the nuanced situation that they find themselves in. So what we decided to do was provide a comprehensive directory of all of the resources that are currently available. We've got some fantastic NGOs, some government organizations doing fantastic work, bringing all of those contact details into one comprehensive source together with, you know, information on rights and other legal issues, so that each victim, which we actually call warrior, can make a decision that's right for her exact situation.
I mean, so many people sort of look at women who are trapped in domestic violence and go, why don't you just leave him? And nothing could be more insensitive and more oversimplifying an often deeply complicated arrangement or relationship.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm not a psychologist, but I'm obviously very interested in this field. And what the research shows is that, you know, getting out of an abusive relationship is extremely, extremely difficult. It often takes a long time of thought, a long time of planning, some counseling, that kind of thing. And, you know, it's not a decision that people can make lightly, especially when there are children involved. And often the case is that, you know, the financial resources for the family come from the abuser in many cases. So there are a number of issues that make it an extremely, extremely difficult decision to make.
And for women trapped in that situation, they often feel like if I go and see a lawyer, it's the beginning of the end. And I mean, what you're trying to do here is saying it may very well be the beginning of the end, but this is an opportunity for you to understand a suite of options that are open to people. You don't have to be trapped by your circumstances.
Absolutely. We've been so grateful with the help of Law for All, which have provided a women-only team of experienced lawyers to man a free legal helpline that's accessible from the site. And that basically means that any victim or anybody facing an issue like this can, you know, with no strings attached, call once, twice, 10 times and speak to a very experienced, empathetic lawyer that can talk her through the parameters of the legal options as opposed to the other options, and to give her as much information as she needs to make a decision.
How are you funding this? How sustainable a project is it?
So, Bruce, you know, having started Caveat about 9 years ago, you know, I'm used to kind of bootstrapping, and I'm also used to just keeping things really simple. So we built this thing ourselves. We didn't use experts. We didn't use techies. And we've built it in such a way that it's extremely simple, deliberately simple, and that it's easy to keep maintained in the long term. So we actually don't need a lot of finances. We're obviously having a number of people signing up as ambassadors, so we are needing a little bit of administrative help and that kind of thing. But it's not something that's going to need a huge cash component, which is fantastic. You know, we've managed to put this thing together using our own resources, and you know, it's free to the public. Everybody can use it. It's available for the taking.
How does anybody who needs the help access that help?
They can access the Warrior Project at www.thewarriorproject.org.za, okay. And follow and share us on social media at the Warrior Project SA.
Yeah, crucial in that is .org.za. Thank you, Yvonne Wakefield, the founder of Caveat Legal.